It's Wednesday, 9th of July, and you're listening to Rethink Daily. No more fancy outside broadcasts, just me and an SM57.
Rethink Daily.
Today's sharp things are The Angel in the Car Park by Tanya Hirschman, and before that, Schrodinger's Houseplant by Mac Donlop.
Available through iTunes, MySpace, and direct from rethinkdaily.co.uk.
You can't say precisely how the damn thing grew. It had leaves, it had blooms, it had roots. It just didn't have any visible structure. It was simply undetectable to the eye. Either its constituent parts were too small, or they reflected things in such a way that all light appeared to go round it or pass through it without being interfered with. I took it to the university yesterday, to one of the labs that deals with this sort of thing. They'd been very keen on the phone, and they invited me in. When I got there, the people at the reception desk asked to look through my bag before I went into the building, and when I began describing what was in there, as you couldn't see the thing, the look on their faces became more and more focused, quizzical, and officious. As it turned out, they weren't about to let me through until they could positively identify what I had with me. In fact, I realised later, it would have been better if I'd said I didn't have anything. Rather than that, I had this thing you couldn't see. To be honest, it hadn't occurred to me that a place like the university labs might not have come across this kind of thing before. So I mentioned the professor's name, the one I'd spoken to, the one who was so keen to see it. Well, see isn't quite right, but anyway, that seemed to help, as they were then able to turn to a directory of names on their desks, and they looked her up and gave her a call. Authorization, see? Makes all the difference. So I observed the conversation from the perspective of the security desk. Did you? Oh, you are? Expecting? Fine then. No. I'll send them right up. And they brought me through into the hall where they had this metal detector waiting. So naturally I walked in, separately from the bag with the growing thing, which they'd put in the X-ray machine. As it went through, I could see the warden and his colleague were keen to have a look. I think they were more interested in the quality of their machine, and whether it was good enough not to just see through the bag, but to render the invisible thing visible, if that makes sense. And they oohed and ahed, so I expect they could see all right, which made me a little jealous, as I hadn't seen anything of it yet, and it just seemed one of those things, typical you might say, that a wonder such as I had found would be revealed not to someone like me, the discoverer, the finder, but to someone who seemed more interested in their machine and the extent of its technical capability rather than this amazing invisible thing that they could actually see with it. Once I was on the other side of the metal detector, they gave me my bag back, but they didn't say anything about what they had seen. Irritated that my unique discovery was treated as no more than a technical curiosity, I thought I'd better check the bag. As I peeled away the layers of protective cloth, I realised they felt moist to the touch. The bag was stained with a green cellulose slime, and my invisible plant had disappeared. Whatever had happened, all its unique transparent properties were now lost, along with its brief, delicate life. The X-ray, having revealed its precious structure to the uninterested technicians, had poisoned it and extinguished the secret treasure of its delicate existence. I doubted whether anyone inside this prestigious institution would ever believe me now. But it did make me wonder how many invisible things I might pass by every day, and why any particular one should have ever chanced to catch my eye in the first place.
The Angel in the Car Park by Tanya Hirschman. There is an angel sitting on the car park exit barrier. The rabbi can see it clearly, the outline of its wings, the glow of its goodness. Even from his car, three cars behind the empty vehicle at the head of the queue, He knows this is a heavenly being. He taps his fingers on the steering wheel and wonders what to do. 5 minutes have passed since the driver of the car in front slammed his door and headed back towards the pay station. 5 minutes in which the rabbi daydreamed about his weekly sermon. And now the angel. The rabbi realizes that the angel is looking straight at him. He thinks for a moment and then gets out of his car. How does one approach an angel? He inches past the cars in front, his heart pounding. All the while, the angel does not take its eyes off him. He stands there, before the angel, and they look at one another. The rabbi cannot speak. He is struck as dumb as a baby. His feet have taken root. The angel sees into him, fingering his liver, his kidneys, his heart, touching every cell, every strand of his DNA. The angel is smiling. The angel is whispering. The angel is formulating something inside the rabbi. The angel is gone. The rabbi stands at the exit barrier, the life returning to his toes, his skin buzzing. He stands there, and for an instant, he knows all there is to know. It is all within him. The tree of knowledge, the tree of life, all of creation streaming alongside his blood vessels. A loud hooting, a shout. Oi! Get out of the way, mate! The rabbi turns. He gazes into the eyes of the man in the driver's seat of the car by the barrier, nods, and makes his way back to his Peugeot. As he sits and waits, his sermon forms itself. When he gives it on Shabbat, his congregation will wonder where their old rabbi has gone. Who is this man who speaks to them with golden words? When they shake his hand after the service, they will walk away feeling as though they have touched something they have never known. And for the rest of the day, and perhaps the days that follow, they too will know something. On their way to work, sitting in a meeting, making dinner for the children, they will stop, remember, smile. They will be happy. Then they will forget. Even the rabbi will begin to forget. The image of the angel will fade. And life will continue. Almost as it was before.
The Angel in the Car Park was written by Tanya Hirschman and performed by Chloe Gilgallon. Schrodinger's Houseplant was written by Mac Dunlop and performed by Ed Birch. Music was by Anton Mayoff, it was directed by Matt Hill and Anne Scantlebury, and produced by Window for Rethink Daily. And The Angel in the Car Park is being published in the collection The White Road and Other Stories in October from Salt Publishing. She's also the founder and editor of theshortreview.com, reviewing short stories every day on the web. Mac Dunlop's other audio work is available from thelisteningzone.com. Plug over.
Rethink daily.
Today, Rethink recommends Fly to the Concorde's manager, Murray, in a commercial for a major sportswear firm. Check out the link on our website. Ta-ra!
Available through iTunes, MySpace, and direct from rethinkdaily.co.uk.